Hello.
Hi, is this Gregory?
It is.
Hi there, my name is Samantha Hayes. I'm calling you from Penguin Book Writers. I will be your assigned project
Okay,
manager.
yes.
How are you doing today?
Okay. Oh, I'm doing well.
That is good to hear, Gregory. First of all, welcome on board. I wanted to guide you in terms of the process, what will be the next plan of action, et cetera, et cetera. So can I take like 10 to 15 minutes of yours? Is it a good time?
Sure, this is fine.
Okay, perfect. All right, so first things first, Gregory, I would like to know more about the book. How did you end up writing it? What is your vision behind it?
Okay, this is actually going to be the first of an entire book series.
Okay.
In fact, when you called, I was reading a section of the third book to my wife. The first book is, first and second book are about 650 pages each, and this one is already 124 pages. The story is about medieval Europe. Do you know the story of Otto the Great, the first Holy Roman Emperor?
Yes, I've heard of it. You know,
okay.
In the historical
okay.
subjects,
well,
so I can relate to it. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, this is the time that Otto was born and raised and became the first Holy Roman Emperor. But there were a lot of things that he did that, you know, he was a pretty tough cookie. He was mean to some people, did all kinds of things. But the entire time frame was very, very interesting. I was stationed in Germany for 3 years early in my career, back when it was West Germany during the Cold War days.
Right.
And so as I learned more and more about their history, I thought, my goodness, we never hear any of this stuff. So I've thought about it for a long time. So what I've basically done is taken the story of Otto, but this sounds bad, but I'm going to kill him off right at the start of the story and replace him with another character. And so this character will sort of follow the pattern of what Otto did in developing the Holy Roman Empire. But because it's not Otto, I don't have to exactly follow all of the stuff he did, so I can vary it. So it's a fictitious, historical novel, but it's in the setting, and most of it is going to be based on the real history of the 10th century. He's going to have a relationship with nearby Danes from Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Saxony. And so the Saxons were part of the Germanic lands, and in the year 918, King Conrad of East Francia died, and instead of his brother, he chose the Duke of Saxony to become king in his place. So Heinrich from Saxony became king of East Francia. Well, in doing so, that left sort of a power vacuum in Saxony. So I am replacing that with my main character, Dieter's father, who becomes Duke in place of Heinrich.
But
then there's all kinds of things going on, and so he makes contact with the Danes, and they actually work out a thing because they're being attacked by Swedish Vikings, and so they form a league between them. And so as this league develops, they start having all of these benefits from it, but they still have to fight all of these other guys. There's on the outside of the Jutland Peninsula is West Frisia, and those were islands, and they were populated by Danish and Norwegian pirates.
Right. Yes.
And so they caused lots of problems. So Dieter, the main character, actually joins in league with his grandfather, who is from Norway. Mm-hmm. And they go out to fight and defeat these pirates. Well, when they defeat them and open up all of these areas for the normal shipping for the Danes, the Norwegians, and the Saxons, they decide that, you know, instead of killing each other, we should be joining together. And so they form a league. And it's sort of like a league that was really formed, but I'm expanding it a little bit. I want to say it sort of like this. I want it to be a little bit friendlier than the real history that time, because they were brutal.
Right.
So I'm sort of doing, in a way, a mildly Americanized, kinder version of history. Mm-hmm. So instead of killing each other, they form a league. But as they're doing this, his uncle tries to rebel against him and replace him. So he has to end up fighting his uncle and his cousin because they're trying to replace him in Saxony. Mm-hmm. And so there's all this intrigue. Well, at the end of the first book, Dieter ends up leading a massive force to a place called Niederpost in Pomerania up near the Baltic Sea, and they have this big battle. But because he's ingenious, he comes up with this big battle plan and manages to defeat what should have been a defensive army that should have repelled his forces. So at the end of the first book, it's going to be that battle. Mm-hmm. In the second book, he goes back and has to try to regain control over Saxony. His father is the duke, but they poison him and kill him. And so now his cousin is going to try to become duke in his place, and they have all of this stuff going on. But in the meantime, it's a really complicated story.
Right.
Just the first two books are 1,300 pages.
Wow. And then as
he's doing this, there's other problems, because being a young man who is not married, one of the things that they did back then was try to arrange marriages between kingdoms and realms and all that. Mm-hmm. Well, the Danes have a young woman that he's fallen in love with, and so he loves her. But at the same time, the Norwegians have a princess that they want him to marry so that they can join to Norway.
Okay.
But Heinrich has a daughter whose husband was killed in battle, and so when his sons die, Otto and Ottoin, he has no male heirs.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts putting pressure on Dietrich, hey, marry my daughter, and you can follow me as king.
Got it.
And so
happened before.
So now
marriage, right? So that's the concept that you're trying to portray over there.
Right. So there's three main women, and every one of them are nice and wonderful. And so any one of them, you'd say, oh, well, if she becomes his bride, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Except that there's three of them.
Right.
And they're all good.
Mm-hmm.
But he's only going to have one wife.
Exactly.
But the Thane of Denmark, the King of Sweden, and the King of East Francia are all trying to push their women on him.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these different things going on.
And
then yes, this is the second book. And then right at the end of the second book, he finally he gets into a battle and has to fight and kill his cousin. So now he's the undisputed Duke of Saxony. But right as this happens, the Magyars from Hungary have invaded East Francia. And so the king calls to him and says, bring your troops, we're at war. So he's marching off to war at the end of the second book. Now, then there's another sort of interesting kind of twist thing, because also one of the big things at this time was religion. The Christian religion was sweeping through this whole area, but there were still lots of Norse who believed in the Norse gods and all of these kind of things. Just because, you know, people like a little bit of magic stuff. There's a priest who communes with God and gives him directions, but there's also these Norse seers who, and so one of them has this black mirror, and that's why the first one is called Prophecies of the Dark Mirror. Mm-hmm. So he goes to see her, and he looks into this dark mirror, and he sees this stuff, and he doesn't understand what it is. But because of this, she makes prophecies of what he's going to do and gives him a small silver mirror to wear. Well, when he goes to battle at Niederfost, he's trying to figure out, how am I going to beat these guys? Well, he gets this inspiration from this mirror, and so it helps him to develop. So there's some mysticism thrown in on top of it. So I think that spices it up some.
Okay, all right. That is so much interesting. I must say, Gregory, that must have taken a lot of time for you to establish the timelines, to understand that era, and then, you know, form this entire storyline, because all of this is not, you know, factual. It most of it is fictitious, right?
Well, no, actually, most of it is following the actual timeline of what happened. Okay. The Magyars really did invade. Heinrich had to do this. So he's generally following the real history of this time. And so this whole storyline is going to cover a 30-year period. And the first two books just cover 8 months.
Oh, wow.
So there's going to be 10 or 15. There's going to be 10 or 15 books in this series.
Got you. Now, what about the third book? And which book specifically are we working on at this point of time?
Well, the first one is book one, which is called Prophecies of the Dark Mirror. The second one is called Vengeance. And he gets this special sword from his grandfather in Norway. And it's specially made the finest steel, you know, and all this. And so he names it Vergeltung, which means vengeance, because his cousin had been killed by the Frisian pirates. And so he wants vengeance upon the people who have done this. And so he names his sword Vengeance. And so it's this sword that he takes into battle, and it's this sword that he ends up using to fight and defeat his cousin. So that's going to be that. But then the third book is called Tribulation, because in the year 919 to 920, East Francia is invaded by Magyars, these horsemen riders, you know, if you think of Attila the Hun, these kind of people. And so they invade, and so he has to go help King Heinrich push these people back. But at the same time, there's also some invaders from Burgundy coming up from France. And so he's got to fight all of these battles while still trying to take care of setting up, you know, his rule back in Saxony. So so this third book is there. And then I've also got this guy, you know, until you get to the third book, you're not going to find out who he is, but he's the Black Rider.
Okay.
It's this guy that's super mysterious, and he fights and kills people in amazing ways, but through the first two books, you really don't know who he is. He shows up, and then all of a sudden, he does all this stuff, and it's like, oh my goodness, who is this guy? And so in the third book, I finally tell who it is, and it's a guy that was raised in the Islamic lands of Palestine and Syria. And so he grew up and became, do you know what the Assassins are?
No, it's
like the special group of special forces that the Islamic people had. In fact, the term you assassinate someone, you kill them, came
Got
from
it.
The fact that these assassins could kill anybody.
Yes,
And so he
and
was
I've
trained
seen
in this.
multiple reference of assassins in multiple Netflix series, movies, along with the book.
Right,
I got the point.
Exactly. So that's who this guy was. But he wasn't really from that. This ship crashed on the shore when he was an infant, and so his mother was rescued. The Islamic lord that found her, fell in love with her, so he married her, and so he made him his son, even though he's a Christian background. Well, his mother secretly taught him Christian stuff, and then when all of this bad stuff goes on in the Omaha rebellion, he ends up deciding, I'm going to leave here and go back to the Christian lands. So he goes into what is now Turkey and becomes a fighter for the Eastern Roman Empire. And while he's there, he ends up meeting this other guy named Kujarsson, who is a Varangian guard. And the Varangian guards were from Sweden. Well, he's supporting this, one of the kings of the Constantinople, who ends up dying. This really happened. He died in a polo match.
Okay.
Well, because he was the main supporter of this guy, and he had to be brutal to these other people. When his king died and a new king comes up, he has to flee. So he goes back to Sweden and ends up being in the service of Dieter.
Okay.
And so when Kujarsson joins him, he also invites the Black Rider to join him, except Dieter doesn't know who the Black Rider is yet.
Okay.
And so this Black Rider is going to be this mystery, you know, Batman kind of guy that shows
right.
up. And at first, you don't know who he is or what he's doing, but he can kill anybody at any time, and they're not even going to know what happened. So he's this super mysterious guy.
And
so,
that's disclosed in book three. You're going to talk more about him in book three, right?
Yes. In book three, I'm going to actually have it to where you learn. So that's who this guy is. I've been wondering for three books who this guy was. And so you finally get to meet him.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. I'm already so fascinated. You know what, Gregory? I'm going to be your first reader. Okay? I'm so
okay.
excited.
Well, see eventually, this is going to spread because Otto the Great actually ruled all the way from Denmark down into Italy. And so he went down to Italy and was crowned by the Pope and went into France. But there he had all kinds of problems, did some bad stuff, ended up getting kicked back. Well, I'm going to have it to where Dieter actually gets along with these people. And so he's going to have influence all the way down to the Iberian Peninsula. But once he gets to the Iberian Peninsula, this, even though we think of it as Spain today, it was at that time Al-Andalus. And it was an Islamic peninsula. And so the Renaissance of Europe actually started in Spain because of the Moors. And so he's going to have contact with them. So this is going to be all across the continent of Europe over the next 30 years.
The Eastern side, yes. Oh, my God, that is amazing. So you're currently working on the third book as we speak, right? I guess you have some writing to do in the third book. Okay. So what are we in?
Yes, I'm 124 pages into the second book, into the third book, rather.
Okay.
But see, I started all of this last April.
Oh, wow.
So I've written about 1,500 pages in 1 year.
That is impressive, let me tell you that, because considering the fact that you're working with such a critical, sensitive topic, I mean, it's history, right? And you have to be really careful in terms of the placements and the timeline. So that must have taken a lot of research.
Oh, it has, believe me.
Right.
But I've always been excellent in research. Anyway, I'm a doctor, and I was with the space program. I was the chief of aerospace medicine at Cape Canaveral and the senior flight surgeon for the astronaut rescue and recovery team at Kennedy Space Center. And I supported more space shuttle launches out of Kennedy Space Center than any military position in the world.
Wow. How did a guy like you end up writing this book? I mean, I'm curious to know. What's your vision? I mean,
well,
how...
As I said, I was stationed in Europe. Mm-hmm. And so we lived in Germany for 3 years.
Okay.
So I became really fascinated with all of their history. So down through the years, I've just been accumulating all this information. Just a second, my wife would like to see something.
Okay.
Real quick. He reads his books to me for feedback. I do not care for this genre. I don't like Game of Thrones. I don't like life. I don't like any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't even like medieval history. Not my cup of tea. But mm-hmm. I will tell you this. He has got me on the edge of my chair. Until you start reading it and mm-hmm. all the interplay, the personalities, I mean, it's not boring. It's not dry.
I am already sold, let me tell you this.
Yeah, he's blown me away. I'm not trying to sell you. I'm just telling you as a woman who doesn't care normally about these kind of stories. And my sister, who's 74, she sits on the edge of the couch and she says, tell me more. Because he's got violence, he's got sex, but he tries to tell it like what it really was like and what it was like to be a woman. I'm so proud of him. He tried to tell what it's like for a woman in that day and age, what it was like to have childbirth in that day mm-hmm. and age. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I was just like, wow.
It is fascinating. Exactly. He has blown my mind off. I mean, I was just telling him that I will be his first fan, you know, the first reader. I can't wait to read the books. Thank you for the input.
You're welcome. Here he is.
All right.
Okay, and so believe me, I have gone into all kinds of details about the kind of uniforms they would wear, the kind of food that they eat, and what the farmers were like, and how tough it was, mm-hmm. the difference between peasants and serfs, and what the lords were doing to take care of all of these things. So it's, you know, I'm trying to educate right in the middle of doing all of this. But then I've also thrown in things like, you know, this was when the separation between the church and the state was founded, because they would have a new king and he would say, okay, well, this is our religion. And so he would force all of these people to convert, and then they'd get a different king and he'd say, no, I'm going to do this. And so he would force an entire country to try to change their religious beliefs. So I'm putting all kinds of things like this into the story. And this was about the time that the earliest form of the international banking exchanges were going. And so this was influencing the development of how kings would rule and reign according to taxes and distribution of trade.
Yes, the revolution. Oh, my God. I am truly sold. As I told your wife, this is going to be the next Game of Thrones. You know,
Yes,
super.
Well, the thing is, Game of Thrones only had 8 seasons. They could get 15 seasons out of this.
Exactly. We can submit your book to the Netflix directors, to the Hollywood producers. Oh, my God, I have a lot of things going on, but I'm going to take things
forward.
Point of time. Okay.
Yeah. HBO did such a great job with Game of Thrones. Man, they could turn this into some kind of thing. But there could even be spinoffs because, you know, in Eastern Europe, you know, most people don't realize it, but the Rus, the Russians, mm-hmm. were actually derivatives of the Swedish Vikings that came in. Conquered all of those areas, and that's why, you know, so many of the Russians in Western Russia mm-hmm. have Scandinavian faces and blonde hair, blue eyes. There's a whole other story that I could include on this, and so I could have spinoffs, You know, if I had four or five teams, I could have spinoffs, you know, just like Star Trek had the Next Generation and this other thing. I could have these spinoffs all over Europe telling the story of those people because everybody was interesting back then.
Yes, and the way you are taking the timeline, the way you portray this, I mean, the details that you're ensuring in the entire story, that is amazing. Splendid work that you have done on your end. I haven't seen the manuscript yet, but I'm telling you upfront from all that I've heard so far. So let's just begin with the
plot.
Well,
a lot of,
and, yeah, go ahead.
A lot of people don't even realize there's so many subplots going on. The guy that founded Normandy was actually nicknamed, his new name Christianized was Rollo, but he was a Norwegian Viking that conquered that area. Well, his children were also conquerors, and so one of his great-grandchildren was named William the Bastard. Well, he got an army and invaded England and became William the Conqueror. But 2 years before that, one of his cousins invaded Sicily and southern Italy and conquered Sicily.
Mm-hmm.
So there were derivatives of Norwegian Vikings that conquered Sicily 2 years before England was conquered. And most people don't realize this.
Yes, I didn't know that. I mean, I'm hearing this for the first time. Interesting. And where will this go?
Yeah, so basically Vikings were taking over Italy.
Yes, yes. And you're going to be discussing this in book three, or is that going to be in the upcoming
series? No, that's going to be like book 8 or 9.
Oh, wow. So we have a long way to go. Which book exactly would you like me to begin with? Book one?
Well, you got to start with book one.
Okay, perfect. All right, then. Let me just walk you through the process really quickly so you understand where we are coming from, how the team will be interacting with you, and stuff like that. Let me ask you this. Are you sitting in front of your system right now? Can you access your emails?
I can.
Okay. You need to go to your email and find an email sent to you from Creative Design Agency.
Okay, I'm doing that as we speak.
Okay.
Creative Design Agency.
Yes, there will be two emails, one from Brian, and the first one will be to get started. So you need to go to the first one, which says, click here to get started.
Okay.
By the way, Creative Design
Agency. There's one that says you've been added to
yes.
collaborate with Creative Design Agency, and the other one says welcome on board.
No. The first one, right?
Okay. The first one, it says, teamwork, you've been added.
Yes.
So I need to
get started
with create. There's a rectangular blue thing that says get started.
Yes, you need to click there. It's going to redirect you to the URL or the link of the portal. And the first thing that you'll be doing is setting up your password.
Okay.
And please bookmark this or pin it on your browser, whatever, because this will be the medium through which you will be receiving all the drafts and all the communication will take place on this portal, on the record.
Okay. Now then, it says my name, first name, last name, and then password.
Yes.
So I need to click. There's one that says I would like to receive news about teamwork products, services, and events.
No, you don't need to check mark that.
Yeah.
Second one.
The other one says by signing up, you agree to storing of your data privacy statement.
Yes. No to the first one, yes to the second one, and create your password.
Okay. And so it says finish sign up.
Yes.
So I should do that?
Yes.
Okay, and now it says teamwork, and we're going to...
Messages section. You need to find that.
Okay. It says Gregory Rogers task. Across the top, it has list, board, table, dashboard, files.
Inbox or messages, can you find that option? It can be on top next to the... distance or on your left-hand side?
Yes.
Okay. You click on that. You're going to see a thread created which says welcome on board.
Yes, I see that.
You click on that.
So okay, and now it says book editing services .docx download files.
Okay, no.
And then it says ghost editing services questionnaire client name.
I think you have clicked go back and click on welcome on board, where it says welcome on board, because I think you clicked on the document and it has taken you to files. So if you can go back, please, and click on welcome on board.
Okay. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, welcome on board.
Yes.
Hope this email finds you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah. That is the account manager that will be working. I'm the project manager. Let me explain to you the job description and the differentiation between the two so you don't get confused. Brian is the account manager who will be taking care of all the deliveries and feedbacks. I am responsible for the bigger picture of the project, okay? So if there are any discussions on the next plan of action, how things are moving forward, I will be the person to discuss that with. Brian, on the other hand, will be taking care of day-to-day tasks. For example, if you've provided a revision on a certain draft, he will be the one taking that to the team, or he'll be the one communicating with you over the phone. He's part of the editing team, okay?
Okay.
Yes. So, now, do you see the option to add reply below his
message?
I
certainly do.
Yes. Once you click on that, you'll see that a text box appears where you can type your message, and below that, you'll find an option to attach a file.
Okay. Yeah, it says type your message here. So I just need to say anything on that?
Yes. Let me explain to you what exactly you need to do. The book editing service brief form that is attached there, you got to download that, fill it up to the best of your abilities, and then reattach it on the next message by adding a reply. And did you find the option to attach a file right below the text that appears? Do you see it?
Attach a file, yes.
Yeah. So you click on that. Either you can drag and drop the files here, or you can click on Add Files, and it's going to redirect you to your computer, and then you can select files from there. It's very easy, okay? And you just need to keep the correspondence on this very same thread, because if you go out, creating multiple threads will just confuse the team. So it's better to keep it, through a certain sequence, all right? Now, let me walk you through what's going to happen. So all you got to do is type here whatever you're attaching. For example, if you're filling out the brief form along with the manuscript for book one, you can type that message through in the Dropbox or the text box that you're seeing, attach your files, and post your reply. Once you do that, the team will get a notification, and they will be able to review the files that you have shared with us. Now, let me explain to you what's going to happen next. Once the team gets all these specifications, for example, the brief form along with the manuscript, they will start reviewing the entire manuscript. It's going to take almost 10 working days for them to provide an editorial review or an evaluation report, okay? Now, let me explain what that is. The editorial review will contain the strengths of the manuscripts along with weaknesses and recommendations, suggestions, you can say, from the team in order to improve the manuscript. That does not necessarily have to be implemented because, of course, it's going to be run through you first. We'll be sending that to you. You review the suggestions, and, for example, out of the 10 suggestions, you feel two or three of them are relevant and they make sense. So you let me know that, you know what, Samantha, I only agree with these particular suggestions. The rest of it I do not like. So we are not going to implement that. This is phase one of the editing process, okay, the evaluation of the manuscript. You with me?
Okay. Now, when I'm hitting attach file, I don't see any files coming up.
That's because you need to select the file. See, once you hit attach file, they give you option, drag or paste files here, or add files. So if you click on add files, okay, it's going to redirect you to your computer.
Does it say add more?
I'm not sure what you mean by that. No, not add more. Below that, it says attach a file and...
Oh, hold it. I'm sorry. I had not scrolled down far enough.
Yeah. No worries. Okay.
Okay.
So
you
can send me the file, one of the files, as we are talking over the phone, so I can make sure that you're good with it, okay?
Okay.
While you're doing that, I will explain to you the rest of the process, so you and I, we are on the same page. Okay. Are you there?
Yeah. Just a second. I'm looking.
Sure.
I added my book one to it,
mm-hmm.
but I'm trying to see how to send the message.
There is an option right below add files to post your reply, but you won't be able to post it unless you type something in the text box.
Okay. Oh, okay. I see. I just put hello.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've sent that.
Perfect. You got it. And this is the most simplest way of using this or navigating the portal, okay? I'm not going to get you confused since it's new for you. Just come here, add reply, and post whatever you want to post, whether it's comments, revisions, additional files, whatsoever, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so back to the process. The first phase is the evaluation report. I already explained to you that it's going to be delivered to you in 10 working days after the team has reviewed the complete manuscript. With recommendations and suggestions, they will try to help you in order to gain some sort of direction, you know, in which they should start the editing process. So that is called phase one. Phase two will be after your feedback. So, for example, out of the 10 suggestions, you have approved just 4 recommendations or suggestions that the team provided that you agree with, okay? Then you're going to let us know that, you know what, I just want you guys to work on these 3 or 4 suggestions. That's it. I do not want any other changes. Phase two will be all about the recommendations and suggestions that you approved in phase one. In other words,
we want to have the best book available. So, any ideas? You know, I love to edit it. Unfortunately, I could edit it for 10 years, but at some point, you guys say, "Okay, I'm ready. Let's go."
Exactly. And I always say that. You know, you can sit down and edit a book for the rest of your lifetime. To be very honest, if there's no direction, then there's no point of editing the book. You'll end up changing the entire book, and yet there will be no stopping, right? So there has to be some intervention. There has to be some sort of direction in order to understand what is best for the book and to stop at a certain point and say, okay, you know what, this is it. That's what we're trying to achieve through this process, okay?
Sounds great.
All right, so phase two will be implementation of the suggestions and recommendations that you approve in phase one. Once we get into phase two, that'll be the longer phase, you can say. We'll be sending you drafts every 4 to 5 working days. It might be a chapter. It might be 20, 25 pages each draft, but it's going to be an installment. So once team makes the edits, they will provide them to you for a final go, whether or not you are approving the revisions or changes that they've made. And then if you have any additional changes or revisions, you can put that, throw that in on that edited draft that we have sent you. And then we move on to the next batch and so on until we complete the entire book. Once that is done, we enter phase three. Phase three is strictly a compliance check and, of course, the formatting or the layout of the book, okay? Compliance check, but what I mean by that is a team of proofreaders will be sitting down reviewing your book to find any typos, grammatical errors, punctuation, errors, spelling mistakes, anything like that, you know, related to the basic stuff. And, of course, the formatting has to be according to the publishing standards. That will be done in the final phase, and voila, you have it.
Okay.
Okay. Are there any questions so far in terms of the process?
No, that sounds fairly straightforward, actually.
Perfect. All right. So that is pretty much it from my end. Greg, one more thing. I need to let you know that this is ghostwriters and editors that are reviewing your book. You have a certain vision, and you have been working on this book for a very long time, too. It takes about 2 to 3 drafts for the team and the author to be on the same page. So initially, you got to guide them, okay? You'll be the boss. You'll have to drive them until they understand the concept, until they grasp on it. Once they do that...
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So just keep an open mind in the beginning to guide them. After the 3rd or 4th draft, they will be all settled in terms of the concept, the book, the tone, the transition, all of it. Then we will pace up things, okay?
That sounds fine.
All right, one last question from me, Greg, and I'm going to let you go. I'm sorry, is it okay if I call you Greg?
Sure.
Okay. All right, thank you.
That's what my mother called me. That's what my wife calls me. So.
All right, okay, perfectly fine. You know, I like to establish a rapport. I like to be friends with my customers. That makes the process so much easier, you know. And I'm a very talkative person, Greg, so you just got to bear with me, okay?
Not a problem.
All right, thank you so much. So, my question to you is, what is the release date or estimated time frame that you have in mind for this book to be completed?
I don't know that I'd say that I have a specific time frame, but mm-hmm. you know, the earlier the better. In the meantime, I'm going to be continuing to write book 3 and according to how long it takes, book 4. So mm-hmm. By the time we get through with it, hopefully we'll be able to roll one out, and then people read it and they say, I like it, I want to read more, and then, well, here's book 2. Well, here's book 3. So we can just keep the stuff on going.
That will need to be done through a strategic marketing plan. See, people or authors who are working on multiple books, like a series, you know, just like yours, they come up with certain dates, release dates, for each book to be released at a certain time with relevance, okay? So we'll have to work through that. And then based on the plan, we can go forward and set out the release dates for the upcoming series or the other books, you know, that we're talking about. So let me give you an estimate, Greg. Usually what happens is that if it's a book that consists of 100 to 150 pages, it takes about 2 to 3 months to complete the book, depending on the number of revisions. So, for example, if we are going with 1 revision per draft, that will be the time frame that you're looking at. We are looking at a book of at least 600 pages, right?
That's correct.
So we can double that timeline and say 8 months would be the rough timeline in order to complete this book. Okay, it could be sooner, but I'm just giving you a rough estimate so you can keep that in mind when you're setting up the release date.
That'll be fine.
All right, perfect. All right, then that'll be it from my end today, Greg. I will be waiting for the brief form. As soon as you send that, we will be initiating the project with the evaluation report. And once that is ready, I will forward it to you, and then we're going to have another discussion. Sounds good?
That sounds like a plan.
All right, thank you so much for your time. It was wonderful speaking to you. Trust me, I'll be your biggest fan because I'm into all this. So I can't wait to read the book, and you have yourself a wonderful day.
Well, you too, and I appreciate your time.
All right, thank you so much. Say hi to your wife. She was very sweet.
Okay.
All
yes,
right.
She is.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.